Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I love this parable in Matthew chapter 13. Most scholars that study the Bible believe that Matthew chapter 13 and the parable of the sower is the primary, I want you to hear this, the primary parable of the teachings of Jesus. That when Jesus taught the parable of the sower about everything about life, family, understanding, responsibility can flow into this and flow from this. So the parable of the sower is just brilliant as it relates to a believer's life in walking in the ways of God, the will of God, and understanding the Word of God. So much of it can be filtered through the teaching in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I'll read you some of these verses as Jesus was teaching. It's two different scenes. The first one, it said, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by a lake, and there was a large crowd gathered around him, and it was so large that he had to get out into a boat, and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. So the crowd was so large, nobody could hear him. So he eased out into a boat, kind of 15 feet offshore. And the people gathered around and just stood in rows and just stood in these lines where they could listen to Jesus teach. And so he taught them in that setting. And it said, and he told them many things. And he chose to use the idea of parables. Parables. So he tells this parable of the sower. It says, a farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil, where it produced a crop of 160, 30 times what was sown. And then Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. So he tells this parable to the masses. All the gospels talk about the parable of the sower. But then in most of the other gospels, chronologically, this didn't happen the exact same way. Most believe that there was some space and time between the first parable and then the second scene, whether it was an afternoon or 8 hours, we're not sure, but most believe that there was a little bit of time here before this happened again. So we switch scenes, so Jesus tells everybody this, and then there's this other scene in verse 10. It says, the disciples came to him, and most believe it was that evening, the disciples came to him and asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? So they're wondering, why do you talk to the mass in almost like these riddles, these parables, these stories? Now here's what Jesus says to the disciples. So it's a large group. Now it's at night and it's just them kind of in a huddle. Just in a moment there, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. So he says in this smaller group, he says, I'm going to tell you the real deal. You're going to get the real meaning of all this, but not to them. And he begins to talk about that those who have been given and are responsible for what they've been given will get more. Those who act on what they've been given, they're going to get more of amount of truth. And he goes through this whole idea about receiving the word, not being calloused, about getting all that God has. Blessed are your eyes because you see, your ears because they hear, on and on. And then so in verse 18, it's very important, Jesus then breaks down the parable. They're still wondering, what did that parable mean in this large group? So in verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Everybody say means. So in a large group, he just tells it. But then he breaks down into a smaller group and he says, I'm going to tell you what it means, which is where so many people, you and I, we want to get to. We just don't want to hear things. I want to find out, what do they mean to me? What does it mean to my life? What does it mean to my family? What does it mean to my situation as a freshman in college? What does the Word of God mean to me? That's where Jesus wants to move us to. He wants to move us from listeners to those who want to know the meaning of it. Can I have a better amen? So he's trying to move. He's always moving, moving, moving. He's moving people to meaning, not just listening. Listening in the kingdom is not enough. There's a moving to meaning. So he says, I'll tell you what the meaning of it is. And he unpacks this parable. He talks about how those who got the word on the path, it came, short while later, boom, gone. No, it's just the enemy came and took it from you. It's like getting fired up for God in church, and by the time you get to the interstate, it is over. You have no intent of living what you committed to. No intent. I mean, let me tell you something. Jesus has rode with you. You have let him off at the interstate, and the devil is rolling down I-10 with you. It just means it was there, gone. But then there's another one that says that it came, but then because of the soil, it wasn't deep enough, there wasn't root. You know, it just only for a while. Then he tells about the thorns. Hey, what that means is the cares of the world. You get fired up, the word is there, but the cares of the world, all these things happen, and it just goes away. It's not important anymore. The priorities are all messed up. Then he says, but there are those who receive the word with gladness, and it takes a deep root. Then they produce a crop. So he unpacks the meaning of it to the disciples. There's a first scene. Crowds come and see. General message to the masses. But then there's a second scene where he takes it from the mass, from the crowd to the disciples. He moves it from the masses to the small group. He takes the message from the multitudes to the few. He goes from the big to the small. He says, get in here, boys. I've enjoyed the big setting, but now I want to put it in a smaller setting. I want to tell you something. I want to have a conversation with you. I believe in Scripture, Jesus is always trying to take it there. And you know, here's what I thought. Why was it that Jesus had 12 disciples? He could have had 12,000. I mean, he's Jesus. He could have had 150,000. He could have gathered 150,000 and just did kind of the Jedi mind trip. You will follow me. Just Darth Vader, everybody. And you will tell everyone about me. Thank you very much. Okay. He's Jesus. But he didn't do the Darth Vader mind trick. He chose 12. You know why I believe he did that? I believe this with all my heart. Because everything in the kingdom of God is relationally transferred. Everything in the kingdom of God is relationally transfer. Why? Because relationship offers the very best thing. In relationship, we discover so much about God. There's nothing that's more of a blessing. There's no other highlights like the highlights of relationship. But guess what? There's nothing that gets attacked even more than relationship. I mean, let me tell you something. Your heart, your car can bum you out, but it can't bum you out like a friend. I mean, your cereal can let you down, but it cannot let you down like a friend. I mean, your goldfish could reject you, but it's not rejection like a best friend. I mean, all those things can give you just a rough time, but it's relationship that life happens. It's relationship that our heart is connected. Jesus brought it down to relationship. He moved from the masses to the small. Why? Because he wanted to teach them together. He wanted to learn something together. Can I tell you, there are some things you learn together that you will never learn on your own. That's why Jesus didn't teach the disciples all by yourself. Okay, Peter, you're over here all by yourself because you got an attitude. So I'm just going to be with you on Tuesday because I can't put you with everybody else because John gets a little secure. He's a little loving guy. You're kind of hard. Got to keep you separated. Okay, Bartholomew, you're going to be on Wednesday. And Thomas, I doubt we'll ever hang out. Why did he do that? Because Jesus enjoyed, I want you to see this. Jesus enjoyed putting people in the tumbler of relationships. Because it's there that some of the things get worked on that would never get worked on. If you're with people all the time that are impressed by you, nothing's ever going to be dealt with. Everybody needs a setting that is not impressed with them. Everybody needs a setting that will tell you the truth. I mean, that's why you sometimes opposites attract. They attract, but sure, there's a whole lot of sparks sometimes that go on. Iron sharpens iron. So Jesus brought them together. And they were able to experience. That's why I love the scripture in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, which I think is very important to the life of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together or come together in my name, there I am with them. Two or three, I'm with them. The power of belonging, the power of accountability, the power of a small group, the power of small circles. I was sitting with some of our pastors this week and talking to John Phelps, who's really been working hard on this idea of I want a better life and helping host groups and trying to do everything we can to get people to belong, not just believe. And he made a statement that Andy Stanley says to his church a lot. And he says, there are some things God can't, won't do in a row that he can and will do in a circle. Let me say that again. There are some things that God can't and won't do when you're in a row that he will do when you're in a circle. So I want you to think about that. So I started thinking about that, how in a row, and this is cool. Here's how rows work, because we sit in rows here in church. And so, what is it? Rows are where you're introduced to things. You just feel safe in a row. You feel introduced. It's kind of a safe place. You feel there's an acceptance here, and there's not a lot of responsibility when you just kind of sit in a row, other than just, hey, I got my space. I mean, we're good to go. If we can have a chair of separation, that would be a huge win. But I know sometimes at Healing Place, we don't get that, and I'm okay with that at times. But I'm here. I'm in a row. We're talking. Dino's talking, and, we just kind of have somebody from the stage, and you receive. And rows are good. You need rows. You need rows. Rows are where you get instruction. Rows are where there can be some, you can receive. It's a real receiving, kind of real consumerish in a row. And there's, hey, can I tell you something else? You can hide in a row. Let me tell you something, Kingdom Builder offering. You can hide in a row. I mean, it just works that way. And rows are good. But can I tell you something? There comes a time where Jesus wants to move us beyond a row. Because there are some things that God will do in circles, in smaller context. Smaller is better when it comes to the meaning of God, to understand the meaning of life, the meaning of a marriage, the meaning of parenting. Something happens in a circle that would never take place in just a row. So even though we are introduced to Christ, and even though we begin to understand God, and I mean, let me tell you something. Rows are good in a place like this. Some of you come to a setting like this. You've never been in a setting. You're glad it's a row. Could you imagine if we did this and your first time here? Hey, let's just sit and face each other. Okay, I'm in a cult. This is great. This is a cult. You're not going to do that. So it's a measure of safety. It's a great place. It's how to be introduced. I mean, you look at the back of heads. Nobody really looks at you. It's just, I'm the only one working. Come on, somebody. Everybody else chilling right now. So that's kind of how it works. But see, God doesn't ever, he doesn't stop with rows. He eventually wants to get us in circles, in relationship, in some type of a shared community. That's where God wants to take. That's where Jesus took the disciple. Oh, I enjoyed teaching the parable to the rows, the rows, the rows. But then later on, he brought those boys in and said, let me tell you what it really means to your life. He got them into circles. That's what we believe September is all about. We believe September is about circles. It's about getting in a connect group. Because in a circle, things start getting shared. Starts to be a little bit of a responsibility. You move from just a receiving, receive, receive, to contribute. Now, I know when we went to circles, some of you started hyperventilating. You got very nervous because circle, I got circle, circle. But I believe with all of my heart that there are some things that happen in a circle that you'll never experience in God in a row. So this I want a better life idea is about getting on. I'm crazy enough. Can I tell you, I'm believing everybody in our church will join a circle. It's like 150, 200 options. You say, oh, Dina, oh Lord, I did that once. It was horrible. So I started thinking about what does it mean to, I know sometimes I'm not the best small group kind of guy. We, small group, sometimes it could be. So I wanted to help all those who are like, I'm not doing that. There's no way. Because I wanted to dispel some of the myths of a small group. We want to give you some guarantees of some things that are not going to happen in our host groups. I wrote down 10 things I can guarantee you that will not happen in these circles right here. Okay, so I made a list. Here's the first one. There will not be any dance lessons. There will not be ballroom dance lessons. You will not have to do any dancing in your small group. Okay, next one. I can guarantee you this at your host group, there will not be space invaders. That would be close talkers. We're not going to allow people to talk real close to you, okay? So we've taught our host groups, no close talkers. They can't get real all in people's space and get all up in your business. So we're gonna really come against that in Jesus' name. Hey, number three, we're not going to receive offerings. It's okay. I'm good with it. I'm all right. I gave into this one. Just joking. No passing of the plate. No buckets. So you're not going to have to give an offering at a host group. Guarantee this. You're not going to get hit up for money. Number four, no Jell-O molds or hippie food. You're not forced to eat stuff that makes you gag. I hate that. I hate going to people's homes. I don't like it. Eat it. It's good for you. No, it's not. Give me diarrhea. I'm not eating it. I'm going to get sick on my stomach if I eat that. That's crazy. I give you permission. Don't eat something that's going to mess your stomach up. Can we just talk here? Okay, so that's important. Number five, weirdness. Some of you are looking at a host group sign it form, and you were looking for the checkbox, not weird, not awkward. I want to go to the group that has no crazy people. So we're not allowing crazy people. I have a crazar. I can detect crazy. So I'm going to help you with that, okay? How about this? No hoarders. That's real important. No hoarders. I can promise you, we're going to check out all the homes. There's going to be no hoarders. You will have a place to sit. And the other one that goes along with hoarders is there will not be 50 cats. No cat litter. We are sending out the cleanup team beforehand. Number eight, you will not be forced to share your feelings. You will not have to disclose your college life, okay? Tell us everything you did when you were 18 years old. Start! None of that's going to go on. So these are not going to happen in our circles. Number nine, there will be no public speaking. You will not be forced to pray out loud. Can I have a good amen? You know, hey, can you pray, brother? Lord, I thank you for the cheese, and I thank you for the bees, and I thank you for my mama's knees. I mean, you're going to be good on praying. No praying out loud. You'll be okay because that's terrifying. I get stuck with everybody's prayer out loud. Do you know that everywhere I go, well, Pastor, why don't you pray out loud? Do you know there's some places I go and I don't feel like praying out loud? And I get like prayer anxiety. Anybody's ever had prayer anxiety where you're like, okay, you need to pray. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to pray. I'm going to say something really stupid like, thank you, Lord, for Noah who was on a camel and he was with Moses. Do you know I actually preached a whole sermon one time? And I didn't say Noah, I said Moses the whole sermon. Moses on the ark. In Healing Place. I had people stop me and they were like, brother, I don't know if I could come to church here. That was heresy. Hey, brother, work with me. I'm 29 years old. They're in the Bible together. It's a gumbo. Get you some. Get you some. Number 10, my favorite one, you're not stuck with them forever. Can I have a good amen? If you don't mesh with the group, only lasts 3 weeks, you can roll. Go to another group. It's okay with us. I don't like y'all. I'm leaving. I guarantee you, that's not why we're going into circles. We're going into circles. Why? Because I believe there are some things that God can do in circles that he won't do in rows. Can I tell you three things and then we'll finish up? Three things that I believe are going to happen. Here's the first thing that I believe with all of my heart will happen. You will find a safe, authentic harbor to experience Jesus Christ in. People will be there, and you know what? You'll realize you're not alone. You're not the only one who's walked through that. You're not the only one who's ever had that situation. You thought everybody's marriage was perfect. You'll realize not everybody's marriage is perfect. You'll think that person, they so had it together. God, they're so perfect. And you realize they don't have it together. That's a good feeling when you realize there are people around you who are walking through things too. Because the devil loves to isolate you and think you're the only one on the planet. And God is mad at you. Here's the second thing I guarantee you is going to happen in our host groups is this. I believe you will grow. You will not only experience the word of God, there'll be a time where you can pray and get prayed for. You know what else? I believe the teachings are going to help us. Because I believe God wants to take everybody from a row and help them grow. So he's going to take you from row to grow. From row to grow. And then the third thing, which is real important, and I'll finish with this. This is really what Mike and I and Johnny and Brother Wayne, we're all locking into this idea. Here's how we're praying. We're believing that you will be invited by the Holy Spirit to experience change. Change. Because you just never know what God can do in a moment when he takes you from a row to grow. You know, when I came to Christ, my sister's here, my brother-in-law, and I didn't know much at all. Sheila was always in church, but I avoided as much as I could. And so I came to church, and I remember after about a month or two, I remember they announced that there were going to be a youth group, a small group, young adult meeting. I remember seeing it like in the bulletin, hey, 18 to 24-year-olds going to connect. I knew the way I was wired. And I think it's okay to, I think you got to know the way you're wired. I knew the way I was wired that I would never make it in Christ if I did not connect with people. I just wasn't that strong. I knew in my heart that I would never live for Jesus if I didn't connect with people who love God. Because I was hanging out with crazy people. How many you were part of like ex-lunatic fraternity? Just your whole life was just crazy. You just attracted crazy people. Just nutso. I just knew it. And so I remember getting all excited. I thought, well, I'm gonna go to the youth group. And I remember going that night. I was a little nervous. I didn't know anybody. I think somebody had talked to me. Yeah, you ought to go. Sheila was encouraging me. Phil were encouraging me. So I went there, drove up there that night. And they had a sign on the door. We've moved the meeting to someone's home. Oh, man. That's not good. That's not good at all. But I knew I had to go. So I remember getting in the car, driving. Wasn't that far away. Went to this person's home, drove up. And it was in a cul-de-sac. And the road was kind of bumpy. Asphalt was all tore up. So I had a new car. So, I mean, number one, I was like, oh gosh, where am I going to park? I had like parking anxiety. You know, I know where to park. And I'm like one of the first people there. I mean, did they take a bus? Who's here? Where's everybody at? Where's the cars? And so I pull up. And so I just pull right up in like the island. Just park my car right up in the grass. I mean, just, I was so nervous about my car. And then I looked over and I saw the house, identified which house it was. And it was kind of like a different kind of looking house. It was kind of like a Banyan house, kind of had like a Fijian flow to it, like it was in Fiji. I just felt like it was like in Fiji. And any minute you were just going to hear like some drums and there was just going to be some, you know, tropical food. It just had that Fijian feel to it, like it was on the beach in Fiji. That's what I thought. And I remember some other people pulled up and walked in, and I was like, oh boy. I remember going in, that was my first experience in a small group. My first time I ever went from a row to a circle. Went there that day, and I sat in a circle. I didn't really know anybody, and we talked about a few things, but I liked the guy leading it. He looked real. I feel like I could trust him. If you ever met anybody, you thought they're the real dude. What you see is what you get. Name was Howie. Everybody say, God bless. Howie. Came back the next week. There were more people. So right when we were starting group, there was a wicker couch. And like we were trying to all cram, squeeze here. And I remember a guy was like, hey, come sit by me and squeeze in. I don't squeeze, brother. I don't squeeze. You don't squeeze this. That's scary. It's scary, I'm telling you. And three grown men sitting on a couch should never happen. There's just something about three grown men on a couch. I don't like that feeling. And so I chose not to sit on the wicker couch, and I sat on the floor on Kelly green carpet, and beside me was a bird cage. And in this meeting, in this small group, in this circle, as we prayed, somebody tapped me on the shoulder when we prayed. I was sitting on the floor. He said, I'm supposed to say something to you right now. He said, have you ever thought that there could be a call of God on your life? said, no. He said, I just got this feeling there's some call of God on your life. He said, you should consider going to Bible college. I never heard that in my life. Here's the craziest thing. There was a magazine rack right beside us. There was a Charisma magazine. And it was a Charisma magazine that had, it was a special on Bible colleges. He leaned over and said, look at there. He said, take this, look at this. And we started, he said, you take this home. He said, I think there's a call on your life and you're supposed to go to Bible college. Cool. A year later, I remember sitting in the living room with my parents after I told them I wanted to go to Bible college and after they fainted. You, Bible college? And we started the idea of going to Bible school. Because I went from a row to a circle. And I wonder today how my life would be different if it wasn't for green carpet, a wicker couch, and a birdcage. You never know. Let's bow our heads, let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just take one more minute. I've kept you a few minutes late, and I apologize. If you just give me 5 more minutes. There's two things. There's two opportunities today. The first one is this. Make sure when you leave today, I'm crazy enough to believe that all of us are going to move. Some of you have done this already. We're going to move from a row to a circle. Please, please try it. I'm not lying to you. Please try it. Please. Just give God a chance. You never know what can happen in your life when you move from a row to a circle. Fill out the card, go online, say, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.